Well, you've probably heard the news by now. An NFL prospect has come out as out and proud gay. Should we care? What are some important questions to ask about this big item in the news?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. I went from sunny Florida yesterday. I'm looking out the window through my studio into my office, and out those windows looking at a beautiful snowstorm in an undisclosed location here in the States. Delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Well, the big sports news over the weekend. In fact, it was such big news, it made it to headline news on non-sports websites and newscasts. The big news was not Winter Olympics. The big news was not which team won or lost. The big news was not the latest athletic accomplishments, but rather something that even got the attention of the White House. Mrs. Obama sending a note of encouragement on this issue. We couldn't be prouder of your courage, both on and off the field. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a top college football player who came out and said that he was gay. And this is the big news of the day. Now, normally Wednesday, we focus on moral, cultural issues. But today, we're going to talk about this. I wrote an article. You can read it by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on latest article. That's AskDrBrown.org. Click on latest article. It's entitled Five Questions About the Possibility of an Openly Gay NFL Player. Five questions about the possibility of an openly gay NFL player. Hey, Joey, we'll be using the other clips, clips 1 through 16 or so, just to make sure you've got those ready. In fact, why don't you get number 2 ready? We'll go to that in a minute. Here are the five questions I asked, and I want to interact with you about this. Number 1, what's the big deal? Why did this dominate sports news? Number 2, is it homophobic to be uncomfortable around an openly gay teammate in the locker room? Number 3, the college player's name was Michael Sam. Was this announcement selfless or selfish? Number 4, has this helped or hurt his chances in the NFL? And number 5, was it really necessary to come out? 866-34-TRUTH. Also, if we have time, I want to do some You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers. We always run out of time on Fridays to get to your many questions and the email questions that come in. So if you want to ask me any question whatsoever about the scriptures, any question whatsoever about what the word teaches on a given issue, if you want to question me on something I believe, we'll try to get to your calls on that as well. 866-348-7884. My first question to you is, if you, we'll just talk to the men for a moment. You are a male athlete. You maybe played high school sports, college sports, maybe professional sports. You know the locker room culture far better than I would know it. I played 9th grade basketball, and that was it. Had to cut my hair to play in 10th grade. Those were my days of starting to become a hippie, so I let my hair grow long, and then I didn't play basketball again, so it's not really part of the sports culture. But would you be comfortable? We're not saying that someone who's same-sex attracted is going to be a sexual predator in the locker room, but would you be comfortable in sports locker room culture knowing that a teammate was same-sex attracted? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back on your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
A landmark moment in American sports.
News for the NFL.
A standout college football player may become the first openly gay player in the National Football League.
Came to tell the world that I'm an openly proud gay man.
I mean, this was the big sports news over the weekend. I checked online. Was it Sunday? Could have been Sunday night. And I saw on CNN.com, just on their main website, it was the lead story. And there's a question I ask in my article, Five Questions About the Possibility of an Openly Gay NFL Player. First question is, what's the big deal? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Now, before I give you my thoughts on that, and before we go to your calls, a few other notes of interest. One is this story. Four players banned from Iranian women's national team for failing gender tests. This is the Iranian soccer team. Women in Iran, and this article is, by Ryan Bailey for Dirty Tackle. Women in Iran may not be allowed to attend football matches between male sides for religious reasons, but the beautiful game is popular among the Islamic Republic's female population. Players in Iran's burgeoning professional women's football, meaning soccer league, will now be subjected to mandatory gender tests after it has been revealed that four national team players were found guilty of not being women. The Telegraph reports the country's football governing body is bringing in the random checks after it was revealed that several leading players, including four in the national women's team, were either men who had not completed sex change operations or were suffering from sexual development disorders. In other words, they were biologically male. Is that a problem? Someone who's biologically male in the process of sex change surgery before, during it, after it, should that person be able to play on a female team? Or is that person having an unfair advantage? No wonder. Look, how many people are there in Iran who would qualify as transgender? Obviously a very, very tiny amount. And yet four of them were on the national women's team. Why? Because they're biologically male and were stronger athletes. Oh, and have you heard this story from Canada? Oh, it's touching. It's really touching. It's a new definition of family. Oh, yeah. Yes. Sarcasm. Della Wolf is British Columbia's first child with three parents on the birth certificate. BC's new Family Law Act is the first to allow birth certificates with more than two parents. Lesbian couple. And the man who impregnated one of them, they didn't want an anonymous donor, so this was an old friend. So now they've got three people on the birth certificate. Just another happy family. 866-34-TRUTH. Do I care about these individuals? Absolutely. I also care about the little girl, the child that will be raised with the ambiguity of two mothers who are lesbian and a father who is gay. And this is going to be the normal world and normal family for her. Those who say that once you redefine marriage, you don't redefine the nature of the amount of people. Of course you do. So, I address the issue of what's the big deal. I mean, on the one hand, I'm aware of the significance of the announcement. After all, it's the NFL. This is the ultimate testosterone-driven male team sport. I understand that the gay slurs in the locker room are still common. So if the NFL can accept an openly gay player, and of course the NFL senior executives are saying, wonderful, great, it's so important that this is done. We commend Michael Sam for his announcement. But if the NFL can accept an openly gay player, then surely tolerance has triumphed. But if you look at it from another angle, you look at it with all the hoopla surrounding this. You look at it with tweets from the White House, the president, first lady, commending Michael Sam for being a pioneer. What did he say? What's his announcement, bottom line? I'm attracted to other men. This is now something to celebrate nationally? This is now something that makes him the new Jackie Robinson? Michael Sam has basically said there's the possibility that I could be physically or romantically attracted to a coach or teammate. And for this, he's now the new Jackie Robinson. Do you see why I have an issue with this? Why I have a problem with this? I'm not condemning this young man. I'm not saying he may not be a hardworking athlete and a fine man in many other ways, but that this is the big news and that we're now to celebrate this when someone says I'm attracted to the same sex. National hero. What if he said I'm exclusively attracted to older women, or I'm exclusively attracted to teenage boys? I mean, what does it matter in terms of what he does in his private life if he's not breaking the law? But this is what makes you a national celebrity and hero these days. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Keyport, New Jersey. Gary, you're first up today. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Mike. Maybe we could just go through the five questions, and I'll weigh in for you real quick.
All right, if you can answer quickly. Number one, what's the big deal?
What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that there's a lot of people that believe this is wrong and sinful still, and a lot of people believe it's not. So there's going to be, you know, that's a big deal.
Okay. Is it homophobic to be uncomfortable around an openly gay teammate in the locker room?
That's hard to say. I think there's a place where, he'll play in the NFL and the guys won't be that uncomfortable around him. Okay, number three.
All right, number three, was Michael Sam's announcement selfless or selfish?
Yeah, it's hard to judge his motive. You know, if he believes in what he's doing, he probably thinks he's promoting his cause. The other motive might be that he was going to be caught, so why not come out with it? Go ahead.
All right. Number four, has this helped or hurt his chances in the NFL?
I would say it's probably hurt them somewhat, but if he's that good of a football player, he'll probably be able to overcome it.
Right. And number five, was it really necessary to come out?
Well, you know, once again, that's a personal decision. My views of it are yours, Michael. I believe it's wrong and it's a sinful lifestyle, but a lot of people, you know, don't believe that. A lot of people don't believe the truth.
Right. Well, yeah, we understand that. And again, you know, we constantly get bombarded with the folks saying, you know, why should we care about what your Bronze Age God has to say about these things? And are you going around killing Canaanites today and on and using the same old objections? Well, Gary, thanks for weighing in. By the way, you don't need to respond to all five questions as Gary wanted to do. And in particular, if you've been an athlete, if you've been in the locker room, would it be, quote, homophobic to be uncomfortable around an openly gay teammate in the locker room, or would that be perfectly understandable? Or is there something we're not understanding about locker room culture? Let's go to Margarita in Brentwood, Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you? So happy.
Doing
to
very
hear
well,
your
thank
voice.
You.
I listen to you all the time.
Thank
I
you.
I have a really big problem with this. What you've been talking about. I agree with you 150%. I just have a little thing here that's going in locally in one of our schools that, you know, for the prom, they pick the king and the queen, and usually boy and girl.
Yep.
Well, now they have, it's all over the news, that it's a girl who's going to, they pick to be the king. So it would be two girls. And there's a big thing that's going on here. Of course, the board of that town, they don't want that to happen. And there's like a big controversy on
that.
And
look, in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which came out almost 3 years ago, I talked about this happening at different schools where the homecoming queen is a boy or the homecoming mm-hmm. king is a girl. And this is now the new thing to be celebrated. Rather than saying, okay, you've got a guy with a wig or who's let his hair grow long, who's visibly a guy, who's biologically a guy, If someone was taking a shower with him, it's still clearly a guy, but he identifies as a girl. Rather than saying, okay, let's try to get to the root of his issues, let's try to find out why he identifies as the opposite sex, let's try to help him from the inside out. No, this now becomes celebrated, and if you have a problem with it, you're a bigot, you're transphobic, there's something the matter with you, as opposed to saying, hey, here's somebody that can really use some help on the inside. Otherwise, all they have to look forward to is sex change surgery, hormones for life, and then they'll never be fully female. In other words, never be able to, say, conceive and have a child like most women would be able to. And you got to be on hormones for life anyway, just to keep yourself from being the opposite of what you were born. Why not say, let's have compassion and help? No, no. Instead, as someone said, a 16-year-old, I quote, in A Queer Thing Happened to America, we live in a generation where chicks are dudes and dudes are chicks. Is this the way we want to go?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
In the old days, we looked at biology and genetic connections, and that's no longer true. Up until now, a child could have only two legal parents. There is now provision for at least four parents and possibly more.
Yes, from Canada. Provision now for four parents on a birth certificate, potentially more. But of course, friends, this is why we've been addressing these issues for years. This is why God burdened me to get involved with these issues years back, because of the implications for society. Because you tamper with marriage, you tamper with family. When you do that, you end up tampering with the very foundations of human life. Those words were from Barbara Finley, a Vancouver-based lawyer talking about developments in British Columbia. The larger subject we're talking about today has to do with college football player Michael Sam, who announced openly that he is homosexual. There were rumors of it leaking out. I've read that where he lived, immediate surroundings, it was kind of an open secret. He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, which is quite an accomplishment. And again, I don't look at him as the primary issue is homosexuality. He's a young man. He's a football player and all these other things. The fact that he's romantically and sexually attracted to the same sex is a totally other issue. And his actions are, he's accountable before God, as we all are. Some say that his stats were overblown, that most of the greatest results he got were against lesser teams. Others have said just his particular size, he doesn't fit perfectly in the NFL. Look, Tim Tebow, for example, perhaps the greatest athlete in college football history, has had a hard time making it in the pros. There are different things. Some fit better than others. So he was not going to be, you know, a top draft pick, but he was going to be a solid draft pick. Now there are executives who are saying, this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt him because it's going to bring in a media circus and because there still is a locker room culture. Is it homophobic if an NFL player says, I'm a little uncomfortable showering and being naked and you know, the physicality that the players have with each other? I'd be uncomfortable being around an openly homosexual player, even if the guy doesn't say anything or raise any issues, just that knowledge. Is it, quote, homophobic to feel like that? 866-34-TRUTH. Patsy in Ashburn, Virginia, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, hi there. Well, I've just had some thoughts about it, and our nation has become increasingly accepting of that which is totally against God's word, I feel. And this does not mean that those who choose to change and compromise God's word is not loved by God. Our leaders need to have good courage and stand for what God's word says. To say you're a Christian is easy, but to live as a Christian and to walk as a Christian is less easy if you are going to be ashamed of God. go back.
Yeah, Patsy, the bottom line today is that you could live however you live and say, I believe in Jesus, and somehow you are Christian. I don't know about Michael Sam's profession of faith. Jason Collins, the first openly gay NBA player, by the way, he was not the best player during his career, and he's towards the end of his career, but he didn't get picked. Thanks for the call, Patsy. He didn't get picked by any NBA teams this year. Oh, yeah. He was the last new Jackie Robinson, which I say facetiously because Jackie Robinson was not getting personal messages from the president commending him, and skin color is different than romantic and sexual attraction. So to compare what happened with Jason Collins coming out, and by the way, he had had an active relationship with a woman for like 8 years before she was shocked to hear that he came out as gay, and he's got an identical twin brother who's not homosexual, so it's obviously not genetically based. But you come out today, you become a national hero. In point of fact, as we look at this whole situation, it just shows how off our media is and our society is. Yes, be loving and caring for every human being. But the fact that someone comes out and announces, I'm attracted to the same sex, and becomes a national hero for doing so, you got to be kidding me. Listen to what the NFL had to say about this announcement.
Growing up in the small town of Hitchcock, Texas, he told me he knew great adversity.
Seeing my older brother killed from a gunshot wound, not knowing that my older sister died when she was a baby, telling the world I'm gay is nothing compared to that.
All right, somehow got the wrong clip there. I'm in my notes here. Okay. That was Chris Connolly interviewing Michael Sam on ESPN's Outside the Lines. But here's what the NFL said. Let me read it to you. We admire Michael Sam's honesty and courage. Michael is a football player. Any player with ability and determination can succeed in the NFL. We look forward to welcoming and supporting Michael Sam in 2014. The NFL wants to make very clear that it is tolerant and inclusive and affirming. Of course, that would not extend to a player or players saying, you know, this messes with locker room dynamics. This would not apply to those who say, well, I'm uncomfortable. I mean, we do have men's sports and women's sports and men's locker room and women's locker rooms, you know, for many different reasons. And it makes me uncomfortable to know that, you know, here you got all these athletes walking around showering and naked. And if someone says they're attracted to the same sex, wouldn't that mean maybe they're checking a guy out? Is that possible? Or maybe, you know, what if you have another gay teammate? Maybe you could have a romantic attraction. I mean, is that so outlandish to wonder about? Would that make you homophobic if you wonder about it? And if you say, you don't understand, you don't bring that stuff in the locker room, well, then don't bring it up. Then while you're playing, just keep it to yourself. 866-34-TRUTH. We've got a bunch of calls we're going to get to. What would a prophet like Jeremiah say to America today? Or since he was speaking to God's people, Israel and Judah, what would he say to the church today? We are extending this opportunity to get a signed copy of my commentary on Jeremiah, the one who said that when he tried to hold the word back because it brought so much reproach, it was like fire shut up in his bones and he couldn't hold it back. Jeremiah, the commentary I wrote, 550 pages, for serious students of the Word, you will love it as you dig into Scripture. It'll make the Word come alive to you. The Hebrew studies, the Word studies, opening the prophetic heart. It comes together with a commentary on Lamentations and a commentary on Ezekiel. 928 pages, a beautiful hardcover. I was just signing copies with the Scripture right before the show. Your gift of $50 or more to help us in the special season as we're seeking God for His abundant provision to do what He's called us to do. Call now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to our website, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Her name is Carmen Carrera.
Carmen Carrera.
Modelo se llama Carmen Carrera.
Transgender knockout.
Who's that? Well, someone being hailed as the next knockout model. Someone being hailed as a beautiful woman. Only problem is Carmen Carrera is born a man. Said sex change surgery and hormone therapy, and now being hailed as the new great knockout model. Do I care about individuals like this? Absolutely. Did Jesus shed his blood the exact same for this person now known as Carmen Carrera as for me and for you? Absolutely. Does God want to bless Michael Sam, the college football player who has come out as openly gay? Surely he does. He wants us to know him and experience his love and goodness and forgiveness of sins and transformation of life and to be with him forever. Does that mean that we celebrate homosexuality? No. Does it mean that we celebrate a transgender model as opposed to saying God did have a better plan? He did have a better plan for you, and that was for your inside to conform to your outside, and God was more than able to help you work that out as he has helped others work that out. 866-34-TRUTH. So, first question in my article, five questions about the possibility of an openly gay NFL player. If you haven't read it, go to AskDrBrown.org and just click on latest article to read it. You can even get involved in the comments section there. Five questions. Number one, what's the big deal? I understand the climate of the NFL for openly gay player, what that would mean. But as I point out in the article, after all, what Michael Sam has declared is, I'm attracted to other men. This is now something to be nationally celebrated. Bizarre. He's basically said there's the possibility I could be physically or romantically attracted to a coach or teammate. For this, he's now somehow the new Jackie Robinson. And I see nothing, quote, homophobic. If an NFL player said I'd be uncomfortable having an openly gay teammate, based on the physicality of the game and locker room culture, I'd be uncomfortable. I would have no problem with someone saying it. Doesn't mean he hates people. It just means there are certain settings that are appropriate for certain things and certain that are not. 866-34-TRUTH. We won't go there. Wow. All right, we're going to go all the way over to... I'm trying to go to Honolulu. Dwight, what has happened to all of our calls? They have suddenly, in a matter of seconds, evaporated. Let's go to the Bronx. The Bronx is always stable. Izzy, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you tell me what's up.
I'm going to comment on that locker room situation. If the guy is openly saying that he might be attracted to a coach and might be attracted to a team player, he already is. That's why he probably said that. And now if one of the players are uncomfortable, like you said, and if they probably say, hey, this is wrong, the whole world's going to hate them. They're going to start hating, oh, well, now you hate, you know, it's just going to get sick, so they're going to allow it. And then the guy's going to be in the locker room cruising the naked men in there and sizing them out, I guess. It's disgusting, you know, that he should have just kept that private.
There were rumors that were coming out because obviously he had been openly gay in other ways. So there were rumors that were coming out. He decided he wanted to control how things were said. And no one's saying he's a sexual predator. But if you put a bunch of male athletes in a locker room with naked female athletes, it's going to have a different chemistry. And to say that you shouldn't ever think that someone's trying to check you out or that there could never be an attraction, well, based on what? 866-34-TRUTH. We will be right back with a whole lot more.
Change the world.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. As I look out through two sets of windows, first the large window that separates my studio from my main office, and then look out the windows of my office, I'm looking at beautiful snow. It's snowing in different parts of the country. We don't, where I am right now, we don't get snow as much as we used to when I was growing up. So it's nice to see. It does affect a lot of things like school classes, our ministry school classes, and people's jobs and lives. But I'm enjoying the snow view. Anyway, 866-34-TRUTH. Look, friends, when we come on the air as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, you have to understand when God started to lay it on my heart to deal with issues having to do with homosexual activism, it was not on my radar. And this is going back to 2004 when the burden started to grow. And then God spoke to me, reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. And of course, you get a tremendous amount of flack and mockery and attack, much of it vulgar. But unceasingly, you get attacked when you do stand up for these issues. No matter how compassionately you do, if you do not affirm the goals of homosexual activism, you are branded bigot, homophobic, intolerant, etc., etc. Those are the things you can repeat on the air. But when God began to burden me about these things, it was because the issues are large issues. It was because these are things of great cultural significance. It's not about being mean to someone. It's not about being mean to someone. It's about saying God established male, female at creation. God established one man, one woman together for life as his ideal for marriage. Jesus reaffirms that in Matthew, the 19th chapter, affirming what's written in Genesis 2. When you begin to deviate from that, you begin to open up all kinds of other possibilities like this. Just another news clip from British Columbia in Canada.
All right, we'll introduce you to a pint-size pioneer. Della Wolf kangaroo Wiley Richards is just 3 months old, and she's already breaking new ground. She and her parents are stretching our legal understanding of what it means to be a family.
Hi, I'm Danielle Wiley, Della's biological mom, so I carried her.
Hi, I'm Anna Richards, and I'm Della's other mom.
Hi, I'm Sean Kangaroo, and I'm Della's dad.
And, of course, he's gay, and those are the three names on the birth certificates. And, hey, just accept it. And did you notice the delight of the commentator? Sure, it's a sweet little baby. That baby deserves a mom and a dad that have conceived that child together, as opposed to, well, who knows, needs to go into all the arrangements that brought that kid into the world. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Olivier in Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, how you doing today, Mike?
Doing well, thank you.
Yeah, so which question do you want me to deal with first?
You tell me about, let's just focus on this question. Is it homophobic to be uncomfortable around an openly gay teammate in the locker room?
No, I don't think it's homophobic. I want to say that it's a sad situation. I myself am a past athlete, played football, showered, you know, no uncomfortability, but you're putting men in a very strange and strained position to be with a person who's going to be attracted to you. That's just, I can't put it into words.
Olivier, we're not saying that the person, that he's going to be a sexual predator or out of control, but look, you got athletes in the prime of their physical life. You've got, in the NFL culture, a lot of these players are very promiscuous. You've got good role models and good family men, but a lot of these guys are into the party life and they're very promiscuous. And to think that this guy is going to be the model of virtue and self-control is, you know, why bring that in the locker room? Would it be strange for a guy to think, hey, I'm showering, I'm walking in the locker room naked, and there's someone who could possibly be checking me out? I don't see what's so strange about it, but if that person came out and said it publicly, they'd get blasted for it.
Well, just to begin, I don't hold one sin over the other because, I mean, I studied the Bible with people, and whether or not they're heterosexually in sin or homosexually in sin, sin is sin.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't put one over the other, like, oh, they're both bad. If you're promiscuous and you're heterosexual, that's bad. If you're, you know, having sex with other men, that's bad too. But to now say we're going to openly have someone who's gay with men, who majority would probably be straight, that would be uncomfortable, just like us saying, let's just have a woman join the NFL. She'll be in the locker room with all the guys. Yeah, she may be attracted to the men, but you know what? It's fine. She's good enough to play ball with the guys, so let her just shower with the guys, and, you know, who cares? You see how wrong that would actually be? It would put her uncomfortable. It would put the whole, because you know that's a woman who will be attracted to you, and you attracted to her. It's a compromising, hard thing to deal with.
Right, why think that it would be different than a woman? Forget the guys checking the woman out. So here's the question. Is it about you as an individual? Thank you, sir, for the call. Or is it about the team? That was the third question I asked. Was Michael Sam's announcement selfless or selfish? On the one hand, maybe he did this to help other young athletes not go through what he did, and maybe he knows it's going to hurt his chances in the NFL. But on the other hand, professional football is all about the team. And the focus is on making a joint sacrifice in order to win rather than drawing attention to oneself. So hasn't he now put his own desires, wanting to be out and proud, above the good of the team, saying everyone else, whether you're uncomfortable or not, whether this helps the team synergy or not, this is who I am. Is that really what you want to do? Let's listen to clip number two, Chris Mortensen and then Adam Schefter breaking down the reaction from NFL team officials to Michael Sam's announcement. Clip number two.
Schefter, what is the NFL and the players' union response to Sam's announcement?
Number one, the NFL has already issued the statement saying how courageous Michael Sam is for coming out and making this admission, saying it will support him and saying it will welcome him into the NFL. The NFL has been waiting for somebody to come out in a way like this. This is somebody that wanted to be true to who he is. They wanted to be completely unselfish, and they applauded Michael Sam for being courageous and said that him coming out to say this shows how honest he is, shows how courageous he is, and shows he's willing to live with exactly who he is, no holds barred, and reveal exactly right now what this man is about.
Ah, of course, as they discussed it on ESPN, there's more to the story that's not in that clip, which is anonymous comments from other NFL officials saying this is only going to hurt him for a number of reasons, and who wants the media circus it's going to bring, and who wants to bring the dynamic into the locker room. Let's go to Tina in Westchester, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. My take on this is I agree with you, first and foremost. It is a sin. We have to treat it like sin, but I feel I had to measure my own self and my own thoughts against this. And what I was thinking is, I was trying to question to myself, what difference does it make whether he came out or he didn't come out? But the difference is when he, if he would have kept that information private to himself, he would have then had to set control and set boundaries when he's in the locker room. He would have to make sure not to look a certain way, not to glance at men, not to make men feel uncomfortable. But by coming out, to me, that was a selfish act because he didn't think about the team and he didn't think about what everybody else, how it's going to distract everybody else from the common goal.
Yeah, I mean, Tina, when you really think about it, again, we're not even talking about the issue of homosexual practice itself or magnifying that above every other sinful practice. But you are talking about a team sport. And now you make an announcement saying, I've got to come out. I want the world to know who I am. I am out and proud. You make that announcement. Now you impose that on the team. Any team that has to deal with the media circus that comes along with it, any team that has to deal with the fact if anybody's uncomfortable, they have an issue, or they have 40-something players, nobody's going to be uncomfortable with it. That's why it could be considered far more selfish than courageous. Thank you for the comments. We will be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, we are listener-supported. That means if you believe what we're doing is important, if you believe it's important for me to be on these radio airwaves as you're listening, if you believe it's important for us to be confronting these issues before secular media, and even helping other nations deal with these issues. We're getting requests from national leaders in other countries to help them sort out these issues. Constant demand in the church world for help. If you believe in what we're doing, along with establishing people in the Word of God, along with helping people create a deeper hunger and thirst for God in their lives, along with helping to raise up and send out laborers to the nations, along with reaching out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and equipping the church to be an effective witness to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and calling the church to stand with Israel. These are some of the many things we are involved with in raising up and sending laborers to the nations. If you believe in what we're doing, would you stand with us? Would you help us? Would you hold our hands up so that the intense pressure just to maintain where we are right now can be met and that by God's grace we can expand and walk through the many open doors he's given us to blanket the country with this broadcast, to produce some dynamic new TV shows, as well as to establish more and more works around the world. Go to our website, become a torchbearer, become a monthly supporter. Could you put aside a dollar a day? Could do that. Maybe skip a few lattes or something like that over the course of a month. I'm not a coffee drinker, but whatever those things are from Starbucks. Put some aside, help us out. We got an email from someone that had stock in Starbucks and felt conflicted because of their aggressive pro-homosexual activist stance, and they sold their stocks and donated the money to our ministry, and of course it went right back out to do what we're doing today. To become a monthly supporter, go to my website, askdrbrown.org. You, friends, are holding our hands up and helping me be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. So go to the website, askdrbrown.org, click on donate, and then click on monthly to become a monthly supporter, or call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. All right, let's go to Isaiah in Odenton, Maryland. Thanks, sir, for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how's it going?
Going very well, thank you.
I have a comment and a question. I play football in high school, and I've been active duty military in the Navy. And so I've been in situations where you're in the locker room with other men, especially in the military. When you first go to boot camp at Great Lakes, you know, you're taking showers with, like, over 15 other guys at the same time. And it wasn't my personal experience, but experience of my friend that one of the guys got aroused in the shower. And so the division, the guys within the division, they kind of let him have the shower to himself. So I think it can bring up an issue where if guys are uncomfortable with that, you know, it can hurt camaraderie and everything else like that. And so I see an issue with it because me as a guy, if I'm attracted to women, you wouldn't put me in a women's locker room. So it can raise issues. And just I think about what Vladimir Putin said. I'm not a fan of Russia, but he said that America is becoming genderless and infertile. And so I want to know as Christians what we can do, you know, just by a church member or just a follower of Christ, because it's an onslaught in our culture that is happening so fast and it's so overwhelming in every aspect. Like, what are we to do? How do we engage a culture?
Yeah, Isaiah, that's the question of the hour. So much has happened so quickly. So the first thing is we have to get our own act in order. In other words, I'm responsible for my life. You're responsible for your life. If we're married, if we have children, where we work on our jobs, the ministries we do, we really have to be shining examples of what it means to follow Jesus. I've often said that no-fault heterosexual divorce in the church has done more to destroy marriage than all gay activists combined. So that's the first thing. We get our own house in order. We repent of sin in our midst, be it pornography, be it no-fault divorce, adultery, be it neglecting our kids, be it not reaching out to the lost, be it not being solid in the Word. And then we get educated as much as we can. We get educated to understand what's happening. Do you have my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America?
I don't have the book. I've seen you on TV promoting the book, but I actually don't have
all right,
the
tell
book.
You what,
I think you're also.
Yeah, when we're done, I want to send you a free copy of the book, all right? So stay right there. And you'll find a tremendous amount of information to educate you. So we get educated, and then we ask God for his heart and his burden so that we don't act in anger or frustration, but with love and truth put together. And then where we find an opportunity to do something, be it standing up in the workplace, be it the values we instill in our children, be it in preaching from the pulpit, speaking the truth and equipping the flock, be it in standing up for political office, whatever the calling might be. So we're going to send you that book, Isaiah, as a gift. It's 700 pages. Pick any chapter that interests you and start reading there. You'll find it tremendously educational. And for everyone else, go to aqueerthing.com. Aqueerthing.com. All right? When you go to the website, it has broken down many different areas of culture. We put that out. We launched it when my book came out, A Queer Thing Happened to America. And it gives many, many different areas of culture, what's going on, what resources are available, what are good websites to go to, and practical steps you can take. It's really a supplement to the book. That's aqueerthing.com. All right, John, Thomas, Jimmy, Jerry, stay right there. If you can hold just a couple more minutes, I want to take your call on the other side of the break. And I want to remind you, friends, our responsibility is not to force others to live the way we live or believe the way we believe. Our responsibility is to obey the Lord and be disciples and make disciples and be God's prophetic voice in society. The world will understand the will of God and the standards of God through our voice speaking on his behalf, through our witness living this out before the world. I worked for years on a commentary on Jeremiah. I wrote it with a passionate heart and with serious Hebrew scholarship, wanting this generation of leaders and pastors and teachers and students of the Word to really understand the heart of Jeremiah and to experience that same prophetic burden. The book has gotten great, great responses from readers. It's 550 pages. It comes together with Lamentations and Ezekiel, all told 928 pages, a beautiful hardcover volume. We did this last week, have extended it to this. I'm going to sign a copy and send it to you. We're asking you to stand with us and help us. If you appreciate our voice on these airwaves, we do need your help. Your gift of $50 or more, I want to send you the signed copy of Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Ezekiel. Commentaries, 928 pages. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, we are making a big fuss out of someone saying, I'm attracted to the same sex. America, wake up. Well, you've probably heard the news by now. An NFL prospect has come out as out and proud gay. Should we care? What are some important questions to ask about this big item in the news?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, friends, we need a revolution. Oh, that's not new news, is it? Not some new revelation, but you better believe we need a revolution. We need a revolution in the church that will lead to a revolution in society. We need radical, dramatic change in our midst that will then produce radical, dramatic change in society, not with human weapons, not with anger, hatred, violence, intimidation, but by the power of the gospel, by the life-transforming message of the cross. As Jesus transforms us, we go and transform our world. You better believe we need a moral culture revolution. Here, we've got Olympics going on. 866-34-TRUTH to get in the discussion. 866-348-7884. We've got the Winter Olympics going on. There are stories coming out of Russia with threats of terrorism and how would Russia handle that, concerns about that. That's certainly a major news story. There are the comical stories from reporters getting there in the hotels not being ready. And, of course, that's part of the narrative in the story. But a big constant story that we're hearing is that Russia is anti-gay and Russia has these draconian anti-gay policies and athletes are going to protest and so on. And there's one former figure skater who is doing commenting for a major network here in America covering the Winter Olympics. And he's putting on lipstick and makeup and wearing these silk shirts and things to make a statement that he is out and proud gay, of course, playing into stereotypes as well as he does that. And as opposed to athletes competing, because that's secondary to the issue of Russia being anti-gay. You know, one reason that Russia has the policies it has, it looks at America. I was speaking to a leader I met in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area yesterday. He works with some African leaders, some of the leaders of nations. He's an ambassador at large with one particular country. He's got a PhD in biblical education, a black man himself. And we were talking about these things that you cannot impose the American way of life on Africa and African countries and culture. There's the so-called Kill the Gays bill in Uganda, which is not what it's called. It's not what the bill is about. But we were talking about that, you know, African nations look at American morality. They're not impressed. Muslim nations look at American morality. They're not impressed. And now we're going to lecture the world. We're going to lecture the world on tolerance and inclusivity and why you need to redefine gender and why you need to redefine marriage and why you need to redefine aspects of sexuality and on and on and on. Friends, we need a revolution. We need radical change. Oh, we've needed it for years. We've been talking about it for years, but let this be a wake-up call. So I went to CNN.com the other day just to see what was on the headline news, and the number one headline of all news worldwide was that a college football player expected to be drafted in the NFL, a top player, came out and said, "I'm an out and proud gay man," to the point that the president and first lady commend him with personal tweets commending him for his courage. This is the big news, that a football player announces, "I'm attracted to the same sex." This is the biggest news in the nation. We're going to talk about this and a bunch of other things. 866-34-TRUTH. What's your take on all this? And am I just being an intolerant, homophobic bigot? If you think so, please call and tell me why.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This was big news, too. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. Normally on Tuesdays, we talk about a biblical theological issue, and Wednesdays, moral social issues, but we're just switching things a little bit today. 866-34-TRUTH. In case you didn't hear this announcement, this was another big announcement. Not as big as this past one, but check this out. Clip number 7.
Now, you are the first in the country. How does that feel?
It's nice, I guess. it's kind of intimidating when you say it like that, but I don't know. I like to just think is hopefully laying a trail for somebody else to do something like this and have it be easier for them.
So what's he talking about? This is HuffPost Live's Mike Sachs interviewing college football player Connor Mertens. Let's skip over to clip number 9, Joey. Clip number 9, listen to what he has to say here.
And how's it been in the locker room?
Same old, same old. Business as usual. People just got another thing to make fun of me for. But, I mean, I'm already a stupid kicker. Now I like dudes.
He came out as bisexual. He's not some giant star in one of the biggest teams in the country, and he's not on his way into the NFL now. But he came out and said he's bisexual. So you need to make that announcement. That, in other words, it's important that everybody knows I'm attracted to both sexes, and this is big news, and now he's a pioneer. Are we serious? Are we really serious about this? And this kind of stuff, Michael Sam, college football player, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, coming out as an out and proud homosexual. Yes, loved by God and for whom Jesus died, but needing the gospel and needing transformation and forgiveness, that he is now commended by the President of the United States for saying, I'm attracted to the same sex. What universe are we living in? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Gastonia, North Carolina. Hey, Jimmy, how's the weather where you are?
Snowing, but likely. Likely.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to start getting cold in a few hours, and then the fun starts. Hopefully folks will be safe. You know, coming from New York, you wouldn't even think of this, just a little sprinkle. But, you know, you get down the south, people are not used to it as much, and you get a few more accidents. So, anyway, it looks pretty right now, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think we can deal with it, though. You know, we haven't had any in a long time.
Yeah. So your take on all this, Jimmy?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you, Dr. Brown, for your ministry. I listen to you almost daily.
Thank you.
My comment is because of the Obama administration, I think the homosexual lobbyists have seized upon an opportunity, a unique opportunity in history. And I believe before he leaves office, they're going to push for as much as they can get until these next two years come to a close. That's my first comment. And then the second comment I'd like to make is that the team that selects this guy is going to be facing some serious situations because they better make sure they do it right, because if they don't do it right, they're going to have some major lawsuits stacked against them if they do anything that offend this guy. And the third thing I'd like to now be through with this is that I hope that guy's family got a lot of money, because he's throwing away a golden opportunity to be a blessing to his family and himself. Because I just hope he's not being used by the homosexual lobbyist group, because once again, he's throwing away a great opportunity to make a living profit for the rest of his life. And if he blow this, he's going to really be in the trash in the near future. So I appreciate your ministry. I appreciate your opportunity for me to say something on your radio broadcast. And I pray for you and continue, bid you Godspeed. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate the kind words, and I especially appreciate the prayers. Yeah, the consensus, well, I can't say consensus. What I've heard is that this will hurt him in the draft, because this NFL thing, I mean, this is unbelievably precise, multi-billion-dollar industry. And you know, they have, you're checked for this and this and this, and how are you going to play with this, and what's going to happen with this, and a million other things. And once you now bring other issues to the table, it complicates matters. And once you now bring the potential of locker room tension, it complicates matters. And look, you know, I'm white, okay? Most of you know that, white American Jew follower of Jesus. But I can't relate firsthand to civil rights issues in terms of discrimination and segregation. I didn't grow up hated for being a Jew in the community where I was. So there was not a lot of anti-Semitism I experienced growing up. And as a follower of Jesus, yeah, I expect to experience rejection and so on, but it's not based on my skin color, you know? So I can't fully relate. I read a lot of civil rights books and speeches and articles and memoirs and different things to try to get understanding and appreciation. And there's so much I deeply admire of the courage of the civil rights leaders, especially those who espoused a nonviolent way to change society. But I constantly hear from black listeners and readers who are so deeply offended by the hijacking of the civil rights movement by gay activists, by comparing sexual desires and romantic attractions, no matter how deep-seated they may be, to skin color, or by making Michael Sam or in the NBA Jason Collins into the new Jackie Robinson. And I understand our president sincerely believes that this is a new civil rights issue, and that if two men love each other or two women love each other, that America is a country that needs to say you have every right to be together as married couples, etc. I as much as I deeply differ with Mr. Obama's policies, as much as I'm grieved over him being the most aggressive pro-abortion and pro-homosexual activist president in our nation's history, it's still been meaningful to me that America was able to overcome so many of its prejudices and past by putting a black family in the White House. Yes, that's meaningful. But this is so co-opted in the wrong way, in such a destructive way. And again, this is where society's going, and you dare not dissent. You have to understand, in many of the circles where I travel, leaders come up to me, thanking me for the stands I'm taking and saying almost no one wants to speak out on this. Thankfully, there are those speaking out and speaking up and doing so with love and compassion mixed with truth. But very, very, very few. Well, who's going to do it if we don't? Who's going to speak for God's standards if we don't? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to John in Queens, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you again for having me, Dr. Brown. It's always a privilege to really listen to your show and your broadcast and the issues that you raise. Basically, with this whole issue with the homosexual identity, it all goes back to a point of identity. And if people are not taught who they are from a point of origin, and this is why I love the Hebrew language, the yod in the man in Ish and the he in the woman, that in itself it carries the identity of the creator himself and establish and show the true meaning and function of mankind. And if these information are not passed on to our people and our culture, the English language in itself it hides or destroys the true meaning and identity of a person. And if we just carry out the words like man and woman and we don't really know who we are as persons, then we're going to seek an identity that is not there. And as C.S. Lewis say, you know, the abolition of man has stepped into the void and creating a new morality in themselves. And the whole issue is identity. And for us to really identify with who we are, we got to go back to our point of origin, regardless of what our stance may be, either evolutionist or creationist. But the facts are there. The data are in that we need to connect with the creator himself, that he in the woman and the yod in the man, which shows a direct connection with the yod he vav he, Hashem, his creative name that speaks about he will create or he will cause to be that which is.
And John, just to jump in, thank you very much for those eloquent, insightful comments. The first thing is the whole idea of gay identity, as opposed to saying I'm a man or a woman, and I have same-sex attraction or multiple sex attraction, whatever it is, but when the identity becomes I am this, now somehow it becomes a right because this is who I am in a fundamental way. But what John was talking about, the Hebrew word for man is ish, for woman, isha, and the way it's described in Genesis 2, because the woman comes out of the man, but the word ish is spelled with a yud in it, like the equivalent of a Y, and isha spelled with a hey, equivalent of an H at the end, and yud, hey, Y-H, Yah, Yahweh, the two coming together bring the image of God in a unique way. Hey, John, thank you for the call. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. So we're going through some questions about the possibility of an openly gay NFL player. And we're discussing the larger issue of what this says to our culture, what this says about the sports world, media culture, how do we take a stand in the midst of it. And the five questions I put in my article, if you haven't read it, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest article. Number one, what's the big deal? Yeah, I understand the big scheme of things, and this is potentially a major announcement. But as I say in the article, looked at from another angle, all the hoopla surrounding the announcement is bizarre. I mean, after all, what Michael Sam, the college football player, has declared is, I'm attracted to other men. This now makes you a national hero. And please, someone call in and give me the scientific evidence, the clear, reputable scientific evidence that homosexual desires are innate and immutable, that someone is born this way, and that they cannot change. By the way, the mayor of New York City, isn't his wife known as a former lesbian? By the way. But here, Michael Sam basically says there's the possibility I could be physically or romantically attracted to a coach or teammate, right? That's what he said. I'm out and proud gay. So for this, he becomes the new Jackie Robinson. Then, second question, is it homophobic to be uncomfortable around an openly gay teammate in the locker room? Well, certainly if players got up and said, you know, I'd be a little uncomfortable. You know, I'm here are these athletes in the prime of physical life, and they're showering together and undressing together, and just say I'd be a little uncomfortable. Or the kind of bromance, close solidarity relationship of, because they risk life and limb playing in NFL football for their team and for the sport and for winning. And there's a certain physicality between them, would they be uncomfortable? Would they be uncomfortable with someone they knew was openly gay? Well, why not? Why would that be so bizarre or homophobic? As to making the announcement, you could say it was a courageous and selfless thing to do. It could hurt his NFL career, Michael Sam's NFL career, and he's doing it for the sake of other kids growing up that they won't have to deal with what he had to deal with. You could make that argument, or you could make the exact other argument and say it's now all about him. And any team that brings him on now makes it about him. And if you say we're not going to talk about it, we're not going to make an issue, then why make the announcement in the first place? Oh, and by the way, quite a few people were sending me notes over the weekend, have you seen this? Have you seen this? That the United States Department of Justice, Mr. Holder, are now expanding same-sex marriage recognition and benefits in America. In case you missed the news, 866-34-TRUTH. Tony in Decatur, Georgia. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown? I love your show.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're the one of the few shows that I like to listen to.
Well, I'm glad you like it. Appreciate it, Tony.
Now, let me give you my comment. I'm a Christian, and I believe that that type of lifestyle is a sin. But at the same token, I don't believe that we as Christians have the right to force the non-believers to accept our beliefs. If they come to Christ, then we have a responsibility to tell them, hey, that type of lifestyle is wrong and you're sinning. But if you're not a Christian, if you want to be with another man, I say let them. It's their choice. If you want to be with, if a woman wants to be with another woman, I say let them. Mm-hmm. It's their choice. Now, as far as the president goes, when I was younger, I said a lot of things in church that were off the wall. And in time, I had to really go back and think and say, what was I thinking when I made that statement? Hopefully, in time, he'll come to the same conclusions. But everybody has the right to say, to mess up.
But oh, yeah, they, listen, yeah, Tony, certainly God's merciful with all of us, and certainly all of us regret things we've said. But if I say it now on national radio and then have to regret it, the consequences are higher than if I said it to two friends when I was first saved 42 years ago. In the same way, once you get to be the president, you know, your words carry a lot more weight. But Tony, let me just ask you this. Obviously, I'm not campaigning against, you know, going through every house and bedroom and, you know, two men can't be together, two women can't be together. No one's even thinking that. But that's one thing to say people are going to live how they live and we want to lead them to Jesus. And then as followers of Jesus, they'll change. I agree with you on that. But do we redefine laws now? Because two men want to be together or two women want to be together, do we now say, okay, we're going to redefine the meaning of marriage, and that's what we're going to teach our kids in the schools? That's when it becomes a greater issue, if you follow my thinking there.
I follow what you're saying, and I don't think it should be taught in schools. But at the same token, if two people want to be together and they're not right. Christian, I have no right to say that they can't. This is law is not hurting other people.
Right. If they're not breaking the law, right. So look, I don't want someone to go out and get drunk, but the only issue is if they drink and drive in terms of the law, or if they turn around and say, okay, thanks, Matt. Thanks for that link. But, If they, you know, going to introduce alcohol to minors or something like that. But if someone gets drunk, that's their life. The same way, if two men have a relationship or live together, have sex, that's between them and God, if they're of age and not breaking law. But I'm not going to redefine marriage based on that. I'm not going to and thank you for the call, Tony. I'm not going to redefine marriage. I'm not going to agree to marriage being redefined. I'm not going to want that taught in schools. I'm not going to want my religious freedoms threatened by that, but that's the situation we're in, and nor am I going to want that imposed on my business. So if I'm a baker and someone comes in and says we want a cake with two men on it for our wedding, or three men, or two women and one man, or whatever, sorry, I have my convictions and my freedoms, and I don't want those restricted by your particular sexual desires and romantic attractions. Friends, this is a great time to stand with us. We are in our ninth day of praying together as a staff and team, spending additional prayer time alone, and then fasting in different ways or on different days, because we are stretched to the limit. I was just looking on Facebook last week. On one page alone, there were 11,500 comments posted. We reached, last week on one Facebook page, 1,076,000 people. Over 100,000 actively engaged just on one Facebook page. And putting aside everyone that listens to us on the radio every day, which is our biggest audience, obviously. Friends, we're stretched to the limit. We do need your help. And we're extending this from last week. My Jeremiah commentary together with Lamentations and Ezekiel, 928-page, beautiful hardcover. You not only treasure the book, it will open up the Word to you like never before. Your gift of $50 or more, I want to sign this and send it to you. Be as generous as you can to help us here on the front lines. Number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. It's right there on the homepage. Or call 1-800-278-9978. We are listener-sponsored. Thank you for your support and help.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I'm going to boast. I am quoted in Pink News right now. Thanks, Matt, for spotting. I'm joking with you, but no, I have been quoted in Pink News responding to my article from earlier today. If you haven't read it, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on latest articles, 866-34-TRUTH. Pink News, Europe's largest gay news service. U.S. radio host, it was selfish of footballer Michael Sam to come out as gay. NFL hopeful Michael Sam's decision to come out as gay was selfish and of detriment to his team, talk radio host Michael Brown has said. Running the conservative website Town Hall, Brown argued that it would hamper the player's potential lucrative selection into the U.S. NFL. But Michael Sam, is quoting me, has now put his own desires, wanting to be out and proud above the good of the team. Brown also said it was wrong for people to celebrate the news. Basically, they just quote my article. And then they state at the end, Michael Brown's website notes, since coming to faith in 1971 as a 16-year-old heroin-shooting Jewish rock drummer, Dr. Michael Brown has devoted his life to fostering awakening in the church, sparking moral and cultural revolution in society, raising up gospel laborers for the nations, and reaching out to his own Jewish people. Hey, Matt, shoot a note to them and thank you for their accurate and fair quotations. Without even comments. Obviously, they think the comments speak for themselves, or excuse me, what I wrote speaks for itself. But anyway, glad to see this is getting out. Yeah, I spotted the comment, another Bible thumper. Of course, that's how I'm going to be viewed. 866-34-TRUTH. My five questions about the possibility of an openly gay NFL player. Number one, what's the big deal? Number two, is it homophobic to be uncomfortable around an openly gay teammate in the locker room? Number three, was Michael Sam's announcement selfless or selfish? And I explained why it could be argued either way, but ultimately there's a selfishness about it. Number four, has this helped or hurt his chances in the NFL? Some unnamed NFL executives and scouts have confided that his announcement has hurt his stock, since it'll bring a media circus that coaches don't want, since it could affect locker room dynamics. And I can pretty well assure you that there are no NFL owners who are going to waste the top draft pick to prove that they're not homophobic. I would seriously doubt that would happen. Jason Collins, remember the new Jackie Robinson, so-called, commended by the president, as was Michael Sam, NBA player, came out as gay. Of course, he had been in a relationship with a woman for 8 years, and she was shocked to hear him declare himself homosexual. Obviously, they had a heterosexual relationship for 8 years. He's got an identical twin brother. Well, the identical twin brother is not gay, so that means it is not something you're born with. I know there are these other arguments, these other genetic arguments for what happens in the womb, etc. But obviously, identical twin is not identical in that respect. But he was hailed as the new Jackie Robinson. Now, of course, he was older. He was at the end of his career, and he was never an exceptional player. But he never got picked up with all the big hoopla announcement. He's not playing in the NBA this year. Did his announcement have anything to do with it? God knows, but it wouldn't be a surprise, because you potentially make a team uncomfortable or some teammates uncomfortable. And if you say, but we don't bring that in the locker room, we don't discuss that in the locker room. And you know, if I'm getting changed in a locker room, not thinking about sex, well, then why bring it up? Why make the announcement in the first place? I know Michael Sam was concerned about word leaking out, but why make the announcement in the first place if it's not an issue? If you don't bring it into the locker room, if it's the last thing on your mind, if all these naked men showering and the camaraderie of men and the football team in the locker room, if that does not affect you any differently than it would affect a heterosexual, then just keep it quiet until your career's over. What's so bad about that? All right, back with your calls. So as we come back, straight to the phones.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, better than Pink News, BBC News. Oh, look at this. What in the world? Is Michael Sam being selfish? A review of the best commentary on and around the world. Today's must read. On Monday, we covered the announcement by pro football prospect Michael Sam that he is gay, offering the possibility that he will become the first openly homosexual player in the NFL, National Football League. We noted that, quote, all of the commentary has been published on the Sam story so far has praised the player for his bravery. That has since changed. Talk radio host Michael Brown, in his Tuesday column on the conservative website Town Hall, asks, this is something to be celebrated? Announcing you are same-sex attracted is a major media event? He wonders whether players will be able to be as physical and free with a homosexual teammate. He calls Sam's announcement selfish, quoting from our article, saying he should have just kept his private life private. And then, quoting my colleague Jennifer LeClaire, editor of the Christian website Charisma News, hey, Matt, send her a note. Let her know we were quoted together. And this is an article as to why she's praying for Michael Sam. But that we were quoted together by BBC News, today's must read, 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, that's a good comment on the BBC site. One does begin to feel that there is a gay agenda, that anyone who does not agree with that agenda is immediately classed as homophobic. Yes, correct observation. I'm glad folks are recognizing it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Giovanni, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Very well, sir. Thank you.
Good, good. What I want to say, man, I believe we, as Americans, man, in our culture, we start to become a monstrous type of culture, man, because we are very pleasure-seeking, and if things feel right to us, then we want it, you know, and things are you know, things that was morally right back in the days, you know, we're trying to do away with those things when those things were reasonable and they were rational. But now we want to do things that on what we feel, you know. Back in the past, in those days, man, you know, it would have been unthinkable to have certain things that we have now. You know, we have man having affections for little boys. To the extreme. I mean, this nation is becoming a nation that's very monstrous. Like the president and his wife are congratulating a man for saying he wants to be with a man. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, that's nothing honorable to want to congratulate a man for.
Yeah.
You know.
Giovanni, if you say, hey, I know this may be very deep inside of you, and I know you may have struggled with this for years, and I appreciate you wanted to be honest with who you are, but you're right, this is nothing to celebrate or to say wonderful and how courageous. What if he said, I'm exclusively attracted to older women? Mm-hmm. Would we say, all right, man, we celebrate that? What if he said, now look, I'm not saying he acted on it, but what if he said, I'm attracted to boys? We're not saying he acted on or abused anybody or anything, and I'm not claiming that in any way associated with him. But would we celebrate that? There are scientists who say that an attraction of an adult to children is inborn and you can't change it. Well, we don't celebrate it just because it's allegedly inborn. But the bottom line, Giovanni, you nailed it at the start. It's all about me. What I desire, how I feel. And we do the same in the church. We preach a gospel that's all about me, that Jesus came to make me a bigger and better me. And when the church is preaching a self-fulfillment gospel, what do we expect of the world? It's so narcissistic. It's so, if I feel good about it, it's right and it's God. And if it doesn't make me happy, it's not the will of God. Man, we need to wake up. We absolutely need to wake up. And that's why I'm raising my voice today. Thank you, sir, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. And just before I go back to the phones, look, I know basically for the last hour and a half as I've taken calls, every caller has been in basic agreement with me on one level or another. Okay, I understand that, but that's not the culture as a whole. That's not the way these statements will play out before the world. When I'm on the hit list of the Southern Poverty Law Center, I'm listed along with Malik Zulu Shabazz, the new head of the Black, the head of the new Black Panthers. I'm listed along with David Duke, former knight or grand wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. When I'm listed along with Nazi skinheads and white supremacist groups as a new leader of the radical right because I hold to biblical family values. And these things are used by law agencies and the armed services. They look to see, you know, from the Southern Poverty Law Center where there are hate groups and radical groups out there and on and on and on. You understand there's opposition. There are plenty of churches that won't have me speak because they're afraid I'd raise these issues. Or before I speak, they say, look, you have to leave controversial issues to us. We just want you to speak on XYZ. No, you don't get floods of new invitations because of this. You know, you don't get floods of income. You do this to honor the Lord because you love people, even though you're going to be branded hateful. And no, it's not the main message that we talk about, but I didn't bring this up. Here, someone posts this on BBC News. Why is the West, especially the U.S., obsessed with homosexuality? Better yet, why is the West trying so hard to export and push the acceptance of this lifestyle in the rest of the world? America puts pressure on other nations to embrace homosexual behavior, to embrace two men or two women marrying, and we're putting pressure on them in different ways. This is madness, friends. Yes, right-wing watch and others, feel free to quote me on that. It is madness. 866-34-TRUTH. Chris in Raleigh, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hey, thank you for all that you're doing. I have no idea. It is madness, what you just said. What I'd like to know is, why do I need to know what two men or two women are doing behind closed doors? I don't need to know about it. I don't need to have to try to explain to my children why they're hearing about it. And quite frankly, I'm just tired of this choice being pushed on the whole world. I'm over it. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, and with good reason, you should be tired of it. Look, here's the thing, Chris. If two people are living a certain way, they're accountable between them and God if they're not breaking the law. But once they announce it, now something has been imposed. For example, with the Boy Scouts. If there was a boy who was attracted to other boys, but he didn't say anything about it, he's 13 years old, he doesn't say anything about it, he's camping out with other boys, 12, 13, 14, they're discovering their sexuality, their hormones are starting to really come alive, he doesn't say anything about it, they're not uncomfortable, no one's stopping him from being a Boy Scout. But no, the Boy Scouts now change their entire policy to say that openly gay boys can serve in the Boy Scouts. The Girl Scouts already has policy that if a boy identifies as a girl and presents himself as a girl, the boy can join the Girl Scouts. It is cultural madness, and it is imposed on us. This is something I didn't go looking for, Chris. It came knocking at my door, just like it came knocking at your door. Chevrolet commercials right now celebrating same-sex couples and things like that. Why? As a protest note to Russia during the Olympics. That's what we're dealing with. And so what do? We get angry? No. We get God's heart. There can be a righteous indignation. We get God's heart, and then we stand for truth, and we stand for love, and we do what's right. Hey, Chris, thank you for calling. You speak for many others, especially moms and dads raising kids. Why does this now have to be the new agenda put on our kids? All right, so I told Right Wing Watch they could quote me. They already did. Anti-gay backlash to Michael Sam begins with fears of raging hormones. End of the bromance. All right, thanks, Right Wing Watch, for staying on top of what I am writing. Much appreciated. Make sure you get some good audio clips from today's radio show. And make sure you introduce it with some of that ominous music you like to put before some of my stuff. Thank you. Much appreciated. Janet in... All right, let's go to Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon. I am a first-time caller, so you be mindful to keep me on time because I'm going to mix and match across the board. You touched on a lot of different points in your total subject concerning Michael Sam and this announcement and what it is for America in today's time. First and foremost, I would like to begin with the Word of God. We understand that since we have accepted Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are now new creatures. Old things have passed away, including those former lusts that this world tells us to live by. So we, as how Paul would have told the church in Corinth, we now are spiritual and we can judge these things spiritually, but the natural man would say it's foolishness for us to even attempt.
Yep. Hey, Brian, stay right there. Stay right there. We've got a short break. Come back, and I want to get to your other thoughts. Milano, Kevin, others, stay right there. I'll get to as many as possible before the show is out. Thank you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. If you missed my Article 5 questions about the possibility of an openly gay NFL player, which is considered must-read by BBC News over in England, and major article in Pink News, gay publication for Europe, as well as cited in the American Right Wing Watch. If you missed the article, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest article. All right, Brian and Charlotte, thanks for calling. Just back to you. So our last segment, time is short, but I want to get right to you, sir. So go ahead, please.
No, I thank you once again for allowing me to have a comment. And just to reiterate, we are now inside Christ Jesus. So what we speak, we know we're speaking from a spiritual stance, as well as we're looking at a world that is totally natural. So it would take anything that we say, and it would automatically want to say it's foolishness, it's crazy, it's outlandish. But first and foremost, I would like to attack, and I do use the word attack, the civil rights portion of why homosexuals in America say that it is a civil rights issue today. And I just do it with a simple example. I, as an African-American male, I can close my mouth, never utter a word, and it will be clearly known that I am African-American.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I have certain civil rights that can be taken away from me just on presentation of self, and the same goes for women. So thus, America, understanding that this was an issue, made sure that by its laws, as a free nation, as a free society, it put forth civil rights laws. I would say any homosexual, African-American, Asian-American, Italian-American, any homosexual that stands and just close your mouth, tell me what civil rights did you really lose?
Right, and Brian, on top of that, it's a super important point, and you could make it as an African-American better than I could make it as a white American, but absolutely, you don't have to announce anything. You don't have to wear anything. You don't have to do anything. You're identified in our country terribly discriminated against Black Americans for a good part of our history. And the same women were not treated equally in many ways. But when we're talking about romantic attractions and sexual desires, that has to be acted out or known or announced. And what behavior is associated with being a female? What behavior is associated with being Black? There's no moral behavior associated with it, but there is with homosexual desires and attractions. Hey, Brian, make sure you call again. Love to talk to you when we have some more time, but thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go. All right, we won't go there. Let's go to Tampa Bay. Milano, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. I just want to give you a little background real quick and make my point. Many years ago, I had split a two-bedroom place. My buddy was homosexual and heterosexual. Prior to that, I used to gay bash, if you will, and he overlooked that, and he forgave me for that. So that was pretty cool. And for several years, I had pretty much all homosexual clientele, and they were okay with me. I was okay with them. And in fact, I made my living strictly off of them for quite a while. And as the years went by, I joined many groups, prayer groups, if you will, at many different churches. And I listened to, in small groups, large groups, in one-on-one, to a lot of people. And pretty much they all told me it was choice. If they chose Jesus, they went away from the lifestyle totally, or at least a good part of it, by choice. And then the other group, if you will, told me that they were born that way. They had nothing to do with Jesus. And I learned that over the years. And I also had a good friend who you've talked about on your show before. And he and I, we talked quite a bit for several years. That would be Pastor, he was my pastor at the time, Alan Chambers. And today I wake up every day and I choose whether I'm going to be heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, asexual, whatever I want to choose. I also choose whether I'm going to hate somebody or love somebody.
All right, so what you're saying is ultimately in Jesus that we do make choices about behavior. And I can say to the core of my being, I desire a certain thing, or to the core of my being, I feel a certain thing. But Jesus says if we want to follow him, we have to take up our cross and deny ourselves. So often to the very core of our being, we have to say, no, I'm going to obey the Lord. Look, there are people, for example, who've been hurt, who have been sinned against. They've been victims, and they have become so bitter, and everything in them is consumed with bitterness and a desire to retaliate, and God says, forgive. It is completely contrary to everything they feel and desire, and yet God says, forgive, and he empowers us to. This much is sure, whether someone's desires change or not. In other words, whether they go from no longer having homosexual desires to having heterosexual desires, as many have, either way, if our desires, if our attractions are contrary to the word of God, we have to say no to our desires and attractions and yes to him. And as one pastor says in England, he himself is still same-sex attracted, but he's living a holy life and says no to those desires. He said, Jesus is enough for every one of us, and Jesus is the one who requires us to follow him with everything we have. Hey, I am sorry. The phone lines have been jammed, unable to get to more calls. I'm sure we'll have more time to talk about this, but go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on latest articles, and then go to the website, read the article, and weigh in the comments section. Often that's a great, great need for folks to weigh in the comments section of the articles. Would you pray with us? Would you consider becoming a torchbearer today, a monthly supporter? The greatest need we have right now is not more open doors, is not a bigger audience, is not more influence. Yes, we want to touch more and more people with the truth of the gospel in Jesus and stand for what is right. But our greatest need is support in doing it. We are stretched to the limit. And perhaps some of that support is in your pocket or in your bank account or in your checking account. Would you stand with us? Put aside a dollar a day, $30 a month. Become a torchbearer. We'll send you a new message every month, give you free access to our online classes, both video and audio, as well as a 15% discount in our online bookstore. So become a torchbearer. Stand with us today. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, or call and click on donate and then become a monthly supporter, or call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. And if you believe in what we're doing and how we're doing it, then become part of our team and stand with us. My bottom line today, society may hate us, society may mock us, society may misunderstand us. Our role is to be like Jesus in the midst of a sinful world.